Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful, rainy, soggy Clearwater, Florida today on this last Sunday of 2013. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are so glad you are joining us today. Some of you may be listening to this broadcast later on our website, as all of our shows get on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, usually by Monday or Tuesday at the latest after each show. So in whichever format you're listening, we are glad you are joining us today. And Brother Nathan Burton, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Hey, it's raining. Is it raining over there in Tampa?
Yes, it is.
Is it? Yeah. Some of us went to get lunch and came out, and it was really raining. So that's okay. We need the rain. I'm not complaining. The gray skies are a little weird, but for us. But the rain we need, right?
Yes, we do.
Woo! We need that spiritual rain, too, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, powerful move of God's Spirit, that rain of His presence. Nathan, we are having it. We are experiencing it at Beacon of Hope, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Woo! Did we have a great service today?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Wasn't it wild? Yes, yes.
Right.
As happens sometimes, as you are singing and playing that keyboard so amazingly, God gives you a song right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. That happened today. I think Nan got it recorded. It was a beautiful song that the Holy Spirit gave you today. How Like God. What a beautiful song. Woo!
Yes, praise God.
Praise God. It's amazing, isn't it, as we're worshiping God. You know, the key to all of that is worship, you know? As not just praising. Tell our audience the difference between praising and worship. I mean, as you see it as a musician and worship leader, what do you see the difference and what happens?
Well, worship, I believe you immerse yourself in the attitude of praising and worshiping God.
Right.
Worshiping Him is, you immerse yourself.
Yeah.
You immerse yourself in it.
You just get in there, right?
Yeah, you just get into that inner room. The Holy of Holies.
Well, Nathan, there's so many churches that they sing a couple songs, but they're just more of a ritualistic type thing. You know, turn to page 204 and let's sing verses 1, 2, and 6 or whatever. And, you know, that's not where we're coming from. Can you explain the difference for those that maybe have not been in a service kind of like what we're used to at Beacon of Hope?
I can't explain it.
Oh, my heavens. I was hoping you could. We allow the Holy Spirit to do His thing, don't we?
The Holy Spirit does His thing.
I mean, we know what songs we're going to sing to begin the part of the service, and I think a lot of times that's more of our time of praise, you know?
Right. But then when the Holy Ghost comes and takes over.
Right.
It's amazing.
It is, isn't it? And just allowing the Holy Spirit.
The whole atmosphere changes.
It does. It becomes, you know, during praise, I think a lot of times we're caught up in just thanking God and praising Him, how wonderful He is, how great He is, and all that. But something changes and shifts when we get into that reverential worship, don't you think?
Well, I feel like praise comes more from our head.
Yeah.
And worship comes from our heart.
Yes. I agree.
Because praise is when we're remembering and thinking about the things, about how great God is and what all of the wonderful things He does for us. And worship is we think about who He is.
Right. Right. That's a good way to put it, Nathan. From the area of what He's doing. I mean, today when we were doing the song, How Great Is Our God, and I love that song. It's a contemporary song, and it's just beautiful. It was interesting. I think I felt the shift during that song. Did you feel that?
I did.
It became more of a, wow, how great is our God? And it just began to shift. I could feel people just begin to worship more than just praising Him.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Amazing.
I agree.
But when we worship, things happen. God speaks to us, does He not?
He does. Ooh. If we allow Him to.
If we allow Him to, that's right, because we can keep that from happening. We can close ourselves off and not be open to the move of the Holy Spirit, but that's what Beacon of Hope is all about. We want God to move in our midst. We want God to speak to us, do we not, Nathan? Yes.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We look forward to it, right?
Yes, we do. We expect him to speak to us.
Yes, yes. And he does that in various ways. He can do it through the words of a song. He can do it during a time of quietness that we wait before the Lord. He can do it during the sermon. He can do it at any point in whatever form or way he chooses to. But the key is that as you and I are leading the people, it's a matter of allowing God to speak through us or sing through us or start a different song maybe than we had planned, etc., right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I love it when he does that, too.
Well, or give a song, a brand new song like he did with you today, a brand new song through you. And I love that. And it became a prophetic word. Can you explain that, what that is?
Well, when God confirms what he's about, what he's doing.
Right.
And it comes forth in a prophetic word. You know, he says who he is to us.
Right.
What he's doing in us and through us. What he's doing to us and for us.
Amen.
And it's just, you know, God speaking.
Yes.
To us, confirming his word and bringing comfort and bringing encouragement.
Right.
Building anticipation.
Building anticipation and we begin to get excited about what God is saying to us, you know, when he's reassuring us or he's expressing his great love for us or whatever it might be, isn't it? It's exciting time.
Yes. Mm. Yes, it is.
And the more we submit to what God wants done in a service or like this right now in this radio show, God moves in our midst. Nathan, would you start with prayer today for this show?
Certainly. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this outreach in the radio ministry. We thank you and praise you for every listener who is listening now and those who will listen later on the website. We are so grateful, Father, that you will be ministering to them through us, that you will be ministering to us.
Amen.
As we go into your word, as we listen to the music, you will share your love with us, and we're just so grateful for that.
Amen.
And we just pray that those that don't have a church home that are in this vicinity, that they will find our website, find our place of worship, and find their new home in the family of God.
Praise God.
And we just thank you and praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' name.
Woo. Amen. We've been praying those very words, haven't we?
Uh-huh.
Connie just had surgery, so she didn't do the music today. I pulled some music from two old shows, and we're going to start with Ray Bolt's Here Comes a Miracle.
All right.
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle.
Oh, can't you feel it?
Can't you feel it in the air? That look is on his face. His glory is in this place. And I know the lame could walk, the deaf could hear, blinded eyes could see, those who had been bound for years were suddenly set free. They came in desperation, the hurting and the poor. When they saw him through the crowd, they knew what was in store. Here comes a miracle. Here comes a
song by Ray Bolts. Woo! Can't you feel it in the air? I know a miracle is on the way, Brother Nathan. Woo! Are you there?
I'm here. I believe that was for someone that is listening today.
I agree with you. I was feeling it as that song was playing.
Mm-hmm. That someone needed a miracle.
Yes.
And they need to just reach out and grab it because it's here.
Yes. Amen. And, you know, I believe, and I've been saying this at Beacon, but I believe that this new year is going to bring a lot of miracles in people's lives.
Oh, yes.
A lot of changes are getting ready to happen at Beacon, but also just in our individual lives. We are seeing the move of God like we haven't seen in a long time. God is changing people right before our eyes, Nathan.
Yes, he is.
Woo, so here comes a miracle. Whoever you are out there, and there may be a whole lot more than one person, claim that miracle from God that you need in your life. Claim it, and we're going to talk now about Matthew. And in that song, it talks about what Jesus did when he walked this earth. So we're going to start with Matthew 4. We're going to really deal with Matthew 3 and 4 today, but I want to start with the end of chapter 4 because of that song that we just played. And I want to read you about two or three verses, starting with verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4. It's talking about Jesus, and it says he went all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places. He taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme. That beginning right now, they were under God's government, a good government. He also healed people of their diseases and of the bad effects of their bad lives. Word got around the entire Roman province of Syria, and people brought anybody with an ailment, whether mental, emotional, or physical. Jesus healed them one and all. More and more people came. The momentum gathering, besides those from Galilee, crowds came from the 10 towns across the lake, others up from Jerusalem and Judea, still others from across the Jordan. Oh my, this is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And word got out that miracles were happening, Nathan. Miracles were happening. Woo!
Yes.
When word gets out, people decide they might just take a chance and get their healing.
They need to come and find out. They need to come and see for themselves.
Amen, right? And that is exactly what was going on when Jesus entered public ministry. People began to hear that people were being healed. And I love this verse because it says, healed of their diseases and the bad effects of their lives, whether mental, emotional, or physical, Jesus healed them one and all. He is still doing that today, Nathan. He is still healing minds, emotions, bodies, physical bodies. Talk to me about that.
Well, we know that I had physical healing this year, this past year.
Boy, you did. Just two or three months ago.
My body, and so many ways. I was in the hospital two or three times.
Right.
And, you know, it was dire. It wasn't just for this little bit of this, a little bit of that. It was dire means,
yes.
Dire things that were going on in my body.
Right. And they didn't have explanation for some of it.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But God healed me.
Yes.
Totally, totally healed me. And I'm just so grateful for that.
I remember that day. That service was wild. Do you remember that day? I remember just praying for this one and that one. And some of you that maybe this is new to, when the Holy Spirit is moving dramatically, sometimes people cannot stand up on their feet and they fall down. And I remember that day praying for so many people, Nathan, and the whole front was just full of people laying on the floor and they couldn't get up because the power of God was so strong. And you were on the piano like you normally are. And I heard God say for me to come to get you and to get you to down off the piano. And I remember you walking in front of me. And the last thing I remember during that thing was just kind of headed towards you, putting my hands on you. But I don't even know if I even got to that point. Do you remember? Because I don't remember exactly.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
You went. I know you went down in the spirit and fell.
Me,
yeah,
and I went down.
Mm-hmm. And you came up a totally different person. And to some of you out there who might be skeptical of that, until you experience it, don't knock it, okay? Because
it is amazing
what God does when you allow the Holy Spirit to really, really minister to you. And that's what happened that day. Miracles. We just played the song, Here Comes a Miracle. Some of you out there need a tremendous miracle, and Jesus is the person to come to. He is the author of the miracles. He is the one that walked this earth and healed all of them, whether mental, physical, or emotional. I love that in Matthew 4. Oh, doesn't that just bless you, Nathan?
Yes, it does.
Woo! You haven't been sick since.
In the business today.
Say again.
You know, to know that he is still in the business of healing today.
Right. Yes.
You know, and he commissioned us. You know, at the end of was it at the end of Matthew?
In Matthew 10. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, at the end of Matthew 2. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you lay hands on the sick. You know. And,
well, let's go there. I'm glad you brought that up. That's Matthew chapter 28. And, in about verse 18 of Matthew 28, that's what Nathan's talking about. Just before Jesus was taken up into the air and where he sits now at the right hand of the Father, just before his exit from this earth, he was talking to the disciples that were gathered there on that little area of the mountain before he was taken up. And these are the words Nathan's talking about. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18, and I'm reading in my Message Bible. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. So these are words from Jesus to us. God commissioned Jesus to commission us. And he said this, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. I will be with you as you do this day, day after day, right up to the end of the age. Praise God. In other words, go and do this. Lay hands on people. Pray
for
them. Yes, do what Jesus did. And Nathan, when we actually believe that God still heals, then we want a part of that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
Mm. Yes, we do.
Mm. Our lives need to change. Now let's go to Matthew 3. And we see as Matthew 3 begins that John the Baptist is out in the wilderness. Describe him, Nathan, if you can. This was the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah that we talked about three or four Sundays ago on this show, about the miracle of John the Baptist being conceived. And these two were very old and past childbearing age, but yet they had a miracle. And here their miracle is grown up. He's a first cousin he's a second cousin, I guess, to Jesus. And he is out in the wilderness and he's preaching. Talk to me about all this, Nathan.
Well, He was a strange-looking dude.
Strange.
His clothes were made out of camel's hair, and it had a belt tied around the middle of it, a leather belt. And he ate wild locusts and honey.
Yes. Sounds delicious, doesn't it? Locusts and honey?
Oh, yeah, right.
Ooh, I could go all year and not eat a meal of that, I'll tell you.
Well, I could do the honey part.
Yeah, the honey part, but not the locust.
Not the locust.
They had to tickle going down, don't you think?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, and people came out from everywhere to meet this strange character. We're in Matthew 3, about verse 6. Don't you find it interesting? Wouldn't you have liked to have been a little fly on the wall those days when all these people were coming out from Jerusalem, even some of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders were coming to find out what was going on out in the wilderness? What was going on in the wilderness?
Well, John was baptizing people into a new life.
Amen.
Into a new way of living.
Yes.
For confessing their sins and changing their lives.
Right.
Changing the way they lived.
Well, in fact, I point you to verse 2 of Matthew 3, where here's what John the Baptist was saying. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. Change your life. That means we have the power of decision, does it not? I love that. The power of decision. We can change our lives for the better when we accept the Lord Jesus into our hearts as our personal Lord and Savior and then begin to allow Him to clean us up. Talk to me about that, Nathan, because we all need that cleanup, don't we?
Yes, we do. But we can't clean up ourselves.
No, we can't. We don't do a very good job of that because we don't see it the way God sees it, do we?
No, we don't. And there are many things that we don't see that God sees.
Right.
But when He comes into our lives, He's Mr. Clean.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a process. It's not something that happens instantaneously.
Right.
That you're all clean. You know, it takes time because it took time to get there.
Right. It took time to get there. So it takes time to let the Holy Spirit do the work, right?
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, I think, Nathan, a lot of times people bury things so deep, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. They don't think about it.
Right.
They don't think about it. They just put it out of their mind and out of sight, out of mind. That means it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
You know, so quick to them.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, just in an instant, something can happen. That'll bring it all back up again, and there it is.
Absolutely, and you know, that's when those things, those memories, those bad situations that happen to us, when they come up, we need to know that God is allowing it for a healing to take place, and then you deal with it. It's a decision right then to say, "Oh Lord, okay. I don't want to keep thinking about this awful thing that happened to me. I want you to heal me from it. I want you the scripture talks about is like a salve, the salve of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get hurt or you have you have a bad cold and you put some Vicks VapoRub on your chest, you know, and helps you breathe better. Well, the salve of the Holy Spirit, that ointment, that anointing, gets down in that situation and eases the pain and the hurt from what happened to you. You know what I'm talking about, Nathan?
Exactly. And then as the pain eases, it's easier to let it go.
It is.
Forgive the individual, whoever, or forgive us, you know, what happened in the situation, and let it go.
But that's a huge key right there, because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, then you can't be forgiven, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what he said.
That's tough for a lot of people to swallow, because a lot of people carry around grudges and resentments and bitterness for numbers of years. You and I both, being just slightly older than Cedric in here, just a tad bit older than our engineer, who is now a new father. So that tells you how young he is. But we have gone through a lot of things in our lives, haven't we, Nathan, where we have been hurt. We've hurt others also, but where we have been the victims of situations that have not been good, right?
Yes.
And because of that, sometimes we need healing. Not sometimes. We always need healing for those situations that are very hurtful and painful.
Yes, we do. And God is faithful to do that if we allow him.
Exactly. And I love what John the Baptist was preaching here in about verse 8 or so, maybe verse 8 of Matthew 3. It's your life that must change, not your skin. Because they were going to him for water baptism, but water baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. It's to show people, okay, I am serious about my commitment to God.
Right.
You don't have to be water baptized to get to heaven. You do have to make a decision and ask the Holy Spirit, ask Jesus into your heart. You have to do that to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross, that God raised him from the dead. You have to believe and receive, but you don't have to be water baptized to get to heaven. It's an outward sign, and John the Baptist was performing this outward sign in the Jordan River. Tell me about that, Nathan, and then I think Carol's just got on the air here, and we'll bring her on in a minute.
Okay, well, John the Baptist was taking people that have made that commitment in their heart to God, to change their lives. They had confessed their sins. And in confessing their sins, they were releasing their sins. And they got baptized to show that they had made the decision to change direction of their life.
Amen. Repentance, turning around and going the other direction, right?
Right. Right.
So as a result of that, it became a popular thing to get out there in the wilderness and see this weirdo that was dressed in camel's hair and ate locusts and wild honey. It became a popular thing to do. Sometimes it's popular to be a Christian in a certain segment of society. It's popular to be a part of a thriving church or whatever the case may be sometimes. And sometimes people are there because their friends are there or they look good in the community. You know what I'm saying, Nathan?
It was the thing to do.
Right.
It was the thing to do.
But John the Baptist, this bold little guy that he was, I think he was a big guy, but this bold big guy says, he called him a brood of vipers, these religious leaders, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
In other words, a brood of snakes. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Because he saw them for what they were. He saw them for people that were not changing their lives at all, but they were just getting baptized because it was the thing to do. They were getting baptized to look like they were changing their lives.
Exactly. Yeah.
Other people.
And he says here in Matthew 3:8, it's your life that must change, not your skin. You know, you can be take a shower every day and your, which you should, by the way, and your your life doesn't necessarily change because you put soap and water on your skin. That's what he was saying here. It's not about outward cleanliness. It's about what God is allowed to do on the inside of you. That's what it's about.
Woo!
Carol, are you on the air?
Here. Yes, indeed.
Amen. We're getting into this discussion here about what it really means to be saved and be a Christian, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I like to think of the salve that you spoke of, you know, the put on a wound.
Right.
As the balm of Jesus cleansing me.
Woo, yeah.
My heart, my soul, my mind, my spirit, and even my natural body.
Oh, amen. Carol, you were a rancher, and you had a lot of animals, and we love your animal stories. But one thing I would imagine you can relate to is medicated salve that you would put on maybe the hoof of one of your animals or a cut, correct?
Yes.
I don't know what you would call that, what kind of stuff you used, but I would imagine you had to have that on the ranch, didn't you?
Had a lot of different ones for different occasions. You know, I had cut, heal, and I had all kinds of lanolin rubs and those kinds of things. But, you know, even when I was doctoring those animals, if they had a boo-boo or if I were getting ready to take them to a show or something and wanted them to look a little bit more spectacular than maybe they were in the field, I would use some of the different balms and the different salves and lotions. And every time I did it, I felt in my own connective heart with Jesus that that's what he was doing to me in the times mm-hmm. that I didn't understand, or the times that I kind of walked backward and said, I'm dealing with people of the flesh. I don't know how to deal with them, so how can I deal with your mercy?
Right.
You know, we don't always know how to deal with his mercy.
Oh.
And a balm is the mercy.
It is.
The
healing touch.
The herder put on those animals.
Yes, that's my point. And I think so often, and I'm sure we've got listeners today that are saying, oh, I never looked at it that way. The presence of God in our lives, if we allow him to do what he wants to do, is like that beautiful, sweet smelling ointment that is rubbed into a cut or an infection or whatever, or in our case, a lot of us, into our emotional hang-ups and hurts.
Yeah, while you and Nathan were speaking and I was listening, this came to me, and it's salve, the balm of Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. The balm of Jesus revises me again.
Woo.
I was down. I was depressed. My mind and my body could find no rest. I cried aloud, Jesus, help me now. And the hallelujah, amen, the balm of Jesus revised me again.
Woo! Praise God. You just got that now as we were talking?
Yeah.
Oh, you and Nan, you poets that don't know it. I mean, you guys, that's great. That's great. Praise God. That's it. That's what we're talking about. And John the Baptist called a spade here when he said, you religious leaders out here, you just are out here for wrong motives. You're out here for the wrong reason. Nathan, talk to me about that. Talk to me about what they were doing.
They were trying to impress people by doing what they saw other people do.
Right.
You know, to try to impress them with who they were.
Right.
You know, okay, if this is what we need to do to impress you, then we'll do this. We'll get baptized.
Right.
And John just said, no, it takes more. It takes a life change.
Yes.
You have to change your life. You don't just get wet.
Well, and right here in these verses right here, some of them are going, well, I'm a child of Abraham. And
yeah,
John
right.
the Baptist goes, aren't we all? I mean, come on. You know, there's a huge group of children of Abraham. That doesn't get you saved that you were born a Jew. It doesn't get you saved that you were born into a family that believes in God. My parents are both Christians. My parents, my dad in the ministry, did not save me. I had to make a decision. Talk to me about that, Carol. It is individual, is it not?
Yes. It is totally individual. You know, the world that we live in today, unfortunately, is not even understanding. The majority of the people throughout the world do not understand that money, social position, and fame don't get you into the gates of heaven.
Amen.
It's how humble you come to Jesus and you say, I'm broken in spirit, I'm broken in heart. I don't know what to do. My body is not healed. My mind is not at rest. I've done all these things. I've had money. I've sought social position, and I've sought fame. Jesus, what do I need to do to come to you? Mm-hmm. And he says, reach out your hand and touch me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. We have to reach out our hand and say, enough of this confusion. Enough of this, what I call a plastic world.
Right.
I can't live in a plastic world because I don't like the sham of it. I don't like the unforgiveness. I don't like the greed. I don't like the selfishness. I don't like the inconsideration for other people. I don't like the lack of charity. So therefore, in my heart, soul, and mind, I live in the world of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't deal with what's outside my door by myself.
I so agree.
I have to rely on him. When I walk outside my door, and Pastor, you've been in my car many times, when we've driven out of my driveway, and mm-hmm. after we stop at the end of the driveway,
yeah.
and we always ask for God to protect
Amen. Yes, we do.
His mercy, his grace, his unending love, his forgiveness, and his safety.
Amen.
And that's what Christians have got to learn to do.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what people who have no thoughts of Jesus in their life, you're not going to get anywhere with those money, social position, or fame attitudes.
No, I totally agree.
How famous you are, if you don't know who he is, it's just like a stick blowing in the wind.
Woo! You know, this morning, Carol, we have the most powerful anointed service before the service on Sunday mornings. It's called music practice, and it is just crazy good. And this morning, we just let the Holy Spirit lead, and we go from song to song. Nathan, I would like for you to sing a cappella right where you are right now. He touched me like we were doing this morning. I'm not going to sing with you, just you. Make it a solo. But I just want, because right now, the things that Carol was just saying, they fit that song. It is for someone today.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me.
Ooh.
And now I am no longer the same.
Ooh.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Praise God.
You know, a life lived with that kind of passion
mm-hmm.
in that song
yes.
cannot be a life that is lost.
Right. Right.
You know, we have to find our own way to Jesus. You know, you can stand and pray over people as you have done, as Nathan has done, as I've done, as the whole church at a whole has done. And until that person wants the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and wants to walk hand in hand with him and see the true beauty of this world, all we can do is pray for them.
Absolutely, because you just led perfectly into this point. Because John the Baptist says, change your life. God's kingdom is here. It's a decision that we make to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And then it's an ongoing daily decision that we make that says, God, I want you to touch me today. I want you to set me free from this junk or this unforgiveness. Nathan, talk about that a minute, and thank you for doing that song. And I love that old song, He Touched Me, Touched Me. And oh, the joy that fills my heart when he does. But go ahead, Nathan, talk to me about that decision thing.
Well, it takes conviction.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit brings conviction. And, you know, the scriptures say, no man comes to the Father unless the Father calls him.
Amen, that's right.
It takes the Holy Spirit coming to you and convicting you of sin, convicting
right.
you,
yes.
saying that you are that you're lost, that you're in a place where you don't want to be. And when you find that out and you want to change that, then you make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Mm, amen. Amen.
That's
the beginning of an ongoing walk with the Lord, you know,
yeah.
where
yeah.
decisions happen. And, You know, I love what God does in us. It's like surprises every day, Carol. We never know what he's going to work on today. It's like we're in this big partnership, you know, with Almighty God.
I think sometimes, Pastor and Nathan, that God works on us in something we don't even realize is an issue.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
And all of a sudden, we realize through his prodding and his showing us different things, the signs of things that he shows us throughout our day, we begin to realize, oh, my stars, I did not know that was an issue in my soul.
Yes.
Or in my body or in my confrontations with other people, whether they be good or bad. You know, sometimes our eyes are blinded by the lights of the world, blocking out the life of Jesus Christ, the beauty of his life with us. And I wrote that earlier this afternoon. Sometimes we get blinded by the lights of the world.
Right.
You know, the sparkly, bright, so forth. And we forget that we go to him and say, I know you've got a brighter light than that bright red one or that bright green one. Show it to me.
Yeah.
Then he gives you the opportunity to use the ministry that he's provided with you for you to save another person's life.
Amen. Woo! That's a perfect segue into this song by the Katinas, Believe.
If you choose to believe.
Forget what was. When you let his love for you shine through you, look out what God's going to do. Isn't that a great song and perfect right there? Nathan, I'll go to you first and then Carol. I mean, it's all about believing. And in our Christmas Eve candlelight service, And the way the sermon went just shocked me. As you remember, it was amazing what God did that night just a few nights ago. But it was about getting on the believing train, getting on the believing train and riding that train into this new year and believing God for the miracles in our lives that we need to believe him for. Talk to me about that, Nathan, then we'll go to Carol for her comments on that. I love that song. Woo!
Well, God said all things are possible to him who believes.
Amen. Amen there.
With God, all things are possible.
That deserves a bell.
But
yes.
We got to believe.
We got to believe.
We got to have faith.
Yes. And so whatever we're going through, no matter who you are out there in radio land, whatever you're going through, because we guarantee you, you probably are going through something, God is able to take you through it, see you through it, get you to the other side, heal your mind, heal your body, your emotions, whatever it is. Carol, you were healed of breast cancer a couple years ago. The amazing, you know, we won't go into that right this moment, except to say that God saw you through every bit of that, did he not?
He saw me through it so I could come out on the other side of it stronger in my faith and stronger in my knowing, not my belief, but my knowing that he is always with me and knowing in my heart of hearts that he has indeed touched me to do work for him.
Amen.
Wherever I am and whatever I do, I know that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I know I was up there with you a couple times and when you were in chemo and sitting there, as you were in the waiting room different times, the number of people that God brought in your path, Carol, amazing number of people that came into your life.
It was amazing. For me, it was like going to a beautiful market where you see all kinds of colors and shapes and sizes of whatever's in that market. And then being able to reach out and touch each one and see the beauty in each of the items or the vegetables or the fruit that you touched.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was, to me, the most tremendous, and I mean this in all sincerity, it was the most tremendous time I've had in my life.
Well, God became so real.
Deep down in the dark, poor, blessed, bless my little picking heart. It was thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we get to go again today. Thank you, Jesus.
Right.
You know, was I tired physically? I was tired. Was I emotionally tired? No, because I knew that somebody else was going to come up.
Right. And they did consistently. The numbers of people that you met and ministered to that touched your life and you, their lives. And Nathan, this is what so often I think people lose sight of, the fact that our trials are temporary. They are momentary. This, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, this momentary light affliction. You know, whatever it is we're going through, it's really not that big a deal. But boy, when we're going through it, we feel like it is, don't we?
Woo. Oh, don't we?
Golly, yeah, don't we?
And God tells us to have the opposite reaction.
Right.
To rejoice.
Yes. Rejoice. Rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake, right?
Yes.
Rejoice when we're persecuted. Rejoice when people don't understand us and when they say mean things, you know?
Or when we're going through a trial. I mean, when we're going through a physical trial, you know, rejoice because God's going to bring us through it.
Oh, and he does.
To leave us there. He brought us to it. To take us through it.
And so that we have, who said this recently on the air, maybe it was you, Carol, we cannot have a testimony without a test. Was
that's
that
right.
I mean, Carol.
Pastor Carl Strader said that in Lakeland, Florida.
Okay, that's where I heard it recently, through you, I think. So these tests that seem so awful at the time are gifts to us.
That's right.
They are opportunities for us to grow. They are times where we search the word. God, what are you doing? How am I going to get through this? Help me, Lord. It's times where we reach out to God and to his word and to those around us that are people of faith and substance. And we say, pray for me and help me get through this. Carol, that's what happened with your illness. And look at all the good that's come of this. You're right now, you're going to be featured in National Geographic because of your dog discovering your cancer, Floyd Henry. You've been on Diane Sawyer, ABC News. You have been, I'm drawing a blank, but you've been in so many magazines, I can't even begin to tell you. Your story has been on the air because Floyd Henry discovered your cancer and alerted you. You went to the doctor, and yes, indeed, you had breast cancer, right?
Correct. But the thing about it was I never once, I had a 10-minute pity party.
Yeah, I remember that 10-minute pity party. I was with you on the phone for that.
It was 10 minutes. I checked it on the, I was in the car.
It was only about 10 minutes, seriously, people.
It was 10 minutes, exactly. And I had pulled up in front, right after I got the real confirmation, I pulled up in front of Barnes & Noble, because I'm a book fanatic, bibliograph person, and I pulled up there, and I turned and looked at Maxine, and I said, I think I'm going to cry. And she said, go ahead. So I cried for 10 minutes. I didn't sob, why me, why me? I just said, Lord, give me the strength to know what I've got to do and how to do it and just keep everything in my household the way it is. And I looked at the clock and 10 minutes was over. I said, well, that's enough of that. Let's go buy a good book.
Right. That's you know, really not, true, people. That is how she handled it.
We cannot, as Christians, let something that the world or the devil and his people would throw into us and defeat us. We're not defeatable.
No.
We are undefeatable through the words and the living that we have and the promises of Scripture that Jesus spoke and God sent his Son to us to at this time of year to be born and give us resurrection as he is resurrected.
Ooh.
Later in 2014. We will rise again.
Amen.
I love that song, I'll Rise Again.
Yeah, Dallas Holm from years ago. I will rise again.
Yep, nobody's going to keep us down. They can't keep us down.
Amen.
You know, if we're his children, we're not going to stay down.
Amen.
Because when we get so down so far that we can't see the toes of his feet, he will pull us up and say, that's enough of that snibbling. Now get on with what I've told you to do.
Exactly. Man up, gut up, which is, I've always said, gut up. God, I mean, I've had so many times feel sorry for myself through my years, haven't we all? And when God just says, gut up, come on, keep moving. You got a job to do. Let's get out there and do it. You know, and Nathan, talk to us about this, because Jesus came to get our minds, our emotions, our past, all healed and set straight so that we don't be all the time living in the past. Do you know what I mean, Nathan?
Mm. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because, I mean, if you're looking back, you're not moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Get on the believing train, baby. And the believing train's moving forward, you know?
Moving forward in Christ.
Woo.
And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God.
Amen. We're excited about this new year for Beacon of Hope. The counseling ministry is going to take off like never before. As of next Monday, we welcome Angel Bosco, licensed clinical health counselor, mental health counselor, to our staff at Beacon of Hope. She's been a part of Beacon for 2.5 years, a member. This is not somebody we just pulled out of the hat. She's been a part of us and has been.
You mean you didn't look in the yellow pages?
No. She's part of us, as you so well know. She knows the word, loves the word, loves God, and she's been in training. She just received her licensing and is finishing her PhD. And we welcome her, and you can set appointments. Any of you that might need an appointment in the Tampa Bay area, she handles all kinds of things. She actually works for DCF also, so she is very, very knowledgeable in emotional issues and so forth. Her number is 727-501-6557. So Angel starts a week from tomorrow. I'll give you that number again. It is Angel Bosco. A year from now, it'll be Dr. Bosco. But it's 727-501-6557. Carol, talk about the prayer ministry, please, here before Nathan. Nathan, are you leaving us at 4?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so hang on. I'm going to get back to you, Nathan, just a second. Carol, tell them about the prayer ministry. You and Pastor Jim do such a wonderful job of sending out the prayer requests to our prayer team. Talk about that, Carol.
Well, we seem to span the globe and parts of the world. Our reputation as a praying church has certainly gotten out, and we praise God for that. sometimes we find ourselves in life in situations that we or our friends know that they can't handle, and we know we can't. So people write Beacon of Hope Ministries or prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com.
They or prayers request. At BOHMglobal.com.
Yeah, BOHMglobal. It comes to me, and I sit down, and I pray and ask God to give me the wisdom of the words that he would want for those people to hear. Sometimes it's a praise report, which we truly appreciate, because
Amen.
Then we know that our prayers are really, really reaching every worldwide place that they come from for us. So it's a wonderful ministry. It is a time-consuming ministry from the standpoint of some days I will write 12 to 14 to 18, 20 prayers a day.
Right.
And
there's a lot of requests coming in.
Well, how do you find time to do it? That's my ministry. That's what I do.
Amen. Amen.
So that's what God has endowed me to do, sitting here in the living room or the office of my own home. Those messages come across. Write us about anything that is concerning you.
Yes.
Whether it be the birth of a child, a new wedding taking place, a serious illness, or a situation in the world that has caused you to have discomfort. Whatever it might be, if you're reaching out to find your salvation through Jesus, we will put it on the lines, and it goes out to our entire prayer team. And through all over the world, our prayer team prays for the situations to change. I write the prayer, or Pastor Jim writes it, and then if anyone cares to speak their own prayer, that's fine after they've read the situation.
Oh, amen. And you can join our prayer team by just sending a note to you, Carol, which will go to me, to you, and to PJ, Pastor Jim. And you just write prayers at BOHMglobal.com and say, I want to be on that prayer team, and you will. You'll get all those prayer requests that come through and the attached prayer that you or PJ write for that need. And we want the prayer team to grow. It began in 06, I believe. It was actually a really heart's desire of Alice, one of our worship leaders or singers at Beacon, and she just really had a burden on her heart for an online prayer line, a crisis prayer line, and it has just flourished. So we welcome you to use it, and prayers at BOHMglobal.com, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHMglobal.com. And you can be part of the prayer team by just sending a quick little email, put me on the prayer team, and that's all you have to do. And Nathan, back to you, and then we will go to station ID here in a minute. And Carol's, you're staying on with me, Carol, for the second hour, are you not?
Yes.
Okay. And Nathan's going to have to go today. But Nathan, we just so appreciate the way you allow the Holy Spirit to move through you in our services and music. I don't know of a time in all these years that I have felt the anointing of God more in our music than now, right now. The songs that are being written, the mixture of contemporary Christian music along with some of the old standards, it's just amazing what God is doing, the worship that is happening. Nathan, talk to me before you go off the air.
Well, the Lord has spoken to my heart that worship and praise, as we sing out, His Holy Spirit is carried on our breath.
Right.
And it fills the room.
Right.
It fills the room.
Woo! Yes.
And as we worship Him, as we praise Him, then other people begin to receive that anointing.
Amen.
That anointing goes out on our breath.
Yes.
As we sing.
Yes.
As we praise God, as we worship Him.
Praise
and
God.
And I'm just grateful that God can use me the way that He does. I'm just grateful for it. So grateful for it.
Amen. Yeah. And, speaking of that, we're believing God for a drummer again, and we are drummerless right now, and we are also needing a bass guitar again, and, people have changes in their lives, and they move on in different areas. So if you are, especially if you're a Spirit-filled Christian and you want to use your talents in the Tampa Bay area, at our service, Sunday mornings are at 10:30. We welcome you to get a hold of me, and the way you get a hold of me is pastor@bohmglobal.com. So we're going to go to station ID. Nathan, it's a joy to have you on the air. You're a wonderful radio team member, as all of you are. Carol, you and Nathan, PJ, there's eight of you, I think, now, something like that. Betty and Megan from my church in Indiana, they'll be on next Sunday. Connie, Pastor Jim. There's just a whole crew of you that rotate with me every week. And I just thank God for all of you and your ministry to us. So, Nathan, God bless you. We've enjoyed having you on for the first hour. And here's station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries on this cloudy, rainy day in Clearwater, Florida. But it's warm out there, but it's just cloudy and rainy. Carol, one of our radio team members, and the one who writes all those prayers for Beacon of Hope. And the prayer ministry is on with me here still and will stay on for the rest of the show today. We have a live two-hour show every single Sunday, begins at 3 o'clock Tampa time. And goes till 5 o'clock. And I tell you what, that's the quickest 2 hours of my entire week, Carol.
It does go by so quickly, especially, you know, when Nathan is on, the three of us just seem to work so well together. And
Amen.
We know that the Holy Spirit is somehow going to make his presence.
Woo!
And you can even feel it, you know, through the waves, if you want to call it that, that the Holy Spirit is alive and well.
Oh, amen.
And that's the basis for our church, I think, is
Absolutely.
The fact that we do believe in the Holy Spirit. We allow the Holy Spirit to freely move in and among the congregation. Every part of the service, you know, Nathan has the most anointed music. And with you delivering the message, sometimes the songs that he receives while he's sitting at the piano playing, while you do something else, preach or minister to people, the Holy Spirit brings these words to him that are just powerful.
They are. They
and
absolutely
they
are.
Make the service more than what it could normally be.
Well, it's just we never know what God's going to do, and that's so exciting. You know, you just don't know what he's got in store for that day. And it's just
thing
wonderful.
About our church, I think, is if people come and witness what is taking place, they will see, hear, smell, and touch.
Amen.
The living Jesus Christ.
Amen. We had new people today. Welcome. We hope they'll be back with us. And, yeah, and you know, the first Sunday of every month, Carol, is Nursing Home Day, and that'll be next Sunday. And we go to Palm Garden Nursing Home right after our service. We get there by 1:15. It's at the corner of Curlew and McMullen Booth. We've been doing that for 3 years. Our dear Jeannie, who is part of this ministry, who helped me start the church 12 years ago, and actually my mother also, were both residents there for a period of time. And they ask us to start doing services, and we still go the first Sunday of every month. A wonderful time, nursing home ministry. And that will be next Sunday, which is January 5th. And that is always starts about 1:15, 1:20 at Palm Garden if you are interested in nursing home ministry. Carol, I originally had said we weren't having a Bible study this Wednesday night because it's New Year's Day, and I got outvoted today at church. And I tell you what, that just blesses this pastor's heart to know that people would rather be in a service, in a Bible study on New Year's evening, which is not New Year's Eve. We're talking about New Year's Day this Wednesday at our normal Bible study time. At 7 o'clock, we will be there at our new location, our brand new church. And you got to see it, you and Maxine, for when you came for our 12th anniversary in September.
Yes.
Isn't it beautiful what God has done?
It is amazingly beautiful what God has done. But then, you know, we should expect his beauty to be reflected
Amen.
In the buildings that he provides for us, in everything that goes into the building. You know, and this, I was so blessed to see the remnants of our church up in Gainesville, Georgia,
yes.
when it closed, for them to donate to Beacon of Hope,
yes.
all of the things that were donated, and to go down to Florida and see them in the church, it was just like a double whammy blessing.
Yes, because you so graciously, your church up in Gainesville, Georgia, asked me to come up there and speak a few years back. And we formed a bond there with those wonderful people, some of who listened to our radio show. And we welcome that. And we were so grateful to get all of those items. And it has really made our new place so much better. So many items, pictures and chairs and tables and all kinds of things. So, you know, a shout out to our friends in Georgia. And we are grateful for that. Listen to this song, and then we are in Matthew chapter 3, if you just now are joining us. This song is called Miracles by the group New Song.
Never saw a man that walked on water. I never heard a voice could calm the sea. Raise the dead or feed 5,000. But in my heart I do believe. I was in a desperate situation, drowning in a sea of my own sin. And it would take a miracle to save me. That's when I reached toward heaven, felt someone touch me. I looked up. Signs and wonders, they miss the greatest miracle of all. Well, it's a miracle of sweet salvation. Well, that's when the God of heaven comes down to live inside of someone's heart.
Believe in miracles, and we do. It takes an impossibility to have a miracle. A miracle is not just something that absolutely happens, you know, that'll happen, that'll be fine. This is when things are very bleak, Carol, when we have those times in our lives where in our own strength we can't fix our mess. You know, we need a touch from God. We need a miracle. I believe in miracles. Woo! And yes.
I believe in miracles as well. And, you know, miracles happen, at least in my life and the lives that I've seen up here, when all else, when we'll say all hope is gone,
right.
All medical hope is gone, all hope of finding a job or hope of a bad relationship or a relationship that was good or broke up or whatever it might have been. And it seems like humanity can't make the change.
Yes.
And that's when God steps in and he makes the change, all for his glory.
All for his glory. Woo!
Look what I did. You had a mess. It's like getting a ball of string and somebody throws it to you. It's a nice little round ball of string and they toss it to you. And as it falls and tumbles on the floor, it just spreads out everywhere and it gets all tangled and twisted. And you pick it up and you go, I can't find the end.
Yep.
Well, no, mm-hmm. We can't find the end. We're not supposed to find the end on our own.
Yes.
Of our
yes.
life's messes, the strings that just run away from our ball of life.
Right.
We rely on Christ to find them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are in Matthew 3. I love that comment. Let's go to verse 11. Here's what John the Baptist was saying to these that were coming out to be water baptized. He says, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. He said, the real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. He was referring to Jesus who was coming. He said, he will ignite the kingdom life within you. That's a phrase. This is from the Message Bible, but I love that. Jesus was coming to ignite the kingdom life within us. You know, when you light a match to something, when you light something, and let's say you've poured gasoline all over an area of ground that you want the grass to burn up. I don't know why you would do it, but I'm just giving you an example.
I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay. And you light a match, and that all of a sudden that fire follows that line of gasoline or kerosene. Jesus was coming to ignite like that the kingdom life within us. He set a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. John was announcing this was what Jesus was coming to do. Talk to me about that fire, Carol.
Okay, the fire on the grass. You know, you look out there, and this is symbolic. I'm going to use this as a metaphor for life.
Okay.
You look out at the grass, and it's wintertime, perhaps, or maybe it's just a very dry summer and spring. And all of that green grass, or the possibility of green grass that you planted seed and it didn't grow, all of a sudden, everything is brown and it's dead and it's lifeless.
Right.
So you go out and you light a fire, and that fire burns off all the dead, ugly, brown stuff.
Right.
Sticks, and it mars up the stones, and it takes the dead trees down. It kills the leaves and burns them.
Right.
All of that takes place. And then within 10 days or so, depending on the time of year, you look out, and all of a sudden what was brown is now green, and it's flourishing. And every animal that crosses the path of that grass or that field now has good nourishment again.
Woo!
When they had nothing to eat. This is what Jesus Christ does for us.
Amen.
He builds a fire, and he burns the dead, ugly, nasty stuff in our life out.
Yes,
and
he does.
During that time, we are supposed to be taking in his wisdom, his words, his life.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen. Amen.
When we have done that, when we have accepted his change in our life, we begin to grow. We put out grass to feed everything and everybody. Because what we're giving them back are the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The promises of Jesus. The results of the Holy Spirit coming in and saying, you can do this.
Exactly.
You can do this.
And it can start with just a little spark, you know, as far as God in you. Some of you out there may be saying, you guys sound really radical. We are. And we won't apologize for that. We are radically in love with Jesus. We are radically in love with the Word of God. We believe that God changes our lives on a daily basis and that he can change yours. We believe that. That's what we preach here. Carol, I have this plant that was so dead. It was sitting in front of my house. I think when you were here a few weeks back, I think you saw it. It was sitting in a pot, and it was totally gone. It was toast. It was terrible.
Yep.
And I set it out front by the driveway so that the young guy that works on my shrubs and all that could, I couldn't get it out of that pot. It was just too strongly rooted in there, and I could not lift it out. So he was there a couple weeks ago, and I said, Jay, when you leave, please pull that old dead thing out and throw it in the trash. Well, he forgot. He was pressure washing the driveway and doing all these things. He totally forgot about it. So a couple of days pass. I walk out. It's still sitting where it was in front of the driveway or at the top of the driveway. There's new growth on it. Now I cannot.
Isn't that amazing?
I can't throw it away. I can't now. I mean, I missed my opportunity to throw it away. It's now got this beautiful little shoots coming out of the dead thing.
And here's why.
Okay, talk to me.
Because it was pot bound in that pot. It had grown as much as it could in
yep.
that pot.
Yep.
It had nothing to give it reason to live.
Yep. Yep.
So you went out and you pulled and you struggled and you tugged and you shook it up a little bit.
Oh, okay. That's what
and
happened. All right.
You're going, whoa, wait
yeah.
a minute. I have new life. And it looks at the next root. So do I. And then it begins to come up.
Right.
That's what God does with us.
Woo,
we are
Carol.
Bound in a pot, and we can't get out of the pot, and we can't grow.
Right.
We've gone as far as we can by ourselves, and then all of a sudden, here comes somebody that shakes us up a little bit and says, hey, you're in a rut. Look at you. You're doing nothing. Let me give you a word of advice here. Let me shake you up. Let me pray for you.
Woo.
Let me pray for you. and you pray for that person, and you go away. You don't give them any other information except maybe hand out your church card. You go away, and you think, well, I hope something rank got through there. Then you go to church on Sunday, and you open the door, and you look, and behind you is that person.
Right, praise
that
God.
Person in the pot.
Right.
You shook them up.
Woo! Praise
said,
God.
I can give you new life through the living word of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Amen to that.
And here's what, you are exactly right on. That was a great metaphor. And here we see John the Baptist out there ministering, baptizing with water. And then in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3, here comes Jesus on the scene. And
he
comes down the hill. You can picture him. And he comes up to John, who is actually his cousin. And he says, I want you to baptize me now. I'm the one. I need baptism. And John says, no, not you. I'm not going to, because he recognized who he was. In fact, John said in John chapter 1, as he saw Jesus approaching him this day, he said, here comes the Lamb of God who will forgive your sin. He understood. In John 1:35, he said, he's the one who's going to baptize you with his Holy Spirit. So Jesus walks toward John. John says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And Jesus said, no, you have to. This is an outward sign. And when he did that in verse 16 of Matthew 3, the moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice, this is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. Because Jesus was obedient, went down in those waters as an outward sign. He came up and here was the Holy Spirit landed on him and a voice out of heaven. This is my beloved son. Whoa. Praise God. A miracle happened right there, Carol. A miracle. A dove spoke. You know, a voice came out of heaven.
That's right.
Looked like a dove. Mm.
And it came down and descended.
Yes, it
and
did.
And went back to heaven.
Amen. Amen. And said,
you know,
this is my son.
God is not far from us. And Jesus is not far. When I have spoken with people who are lost and trying to be found or just want to kind of give me a little problem there, which I always laugh about and say, go ahead, because if I don't know the answer, God does, and he will tell me.
Yeah.
But I say, you know, Jesus is right there with you. And they turn and look, and they say, there's nobody here. I said, yes, there is.
Yes.
If you reach over with your fingers and touch, you might very well touch the arm of Jesus
Christ.
Oh,
amen.
Because he's never far from you.
No, he's right there.
Whether you like it or whether you don't like it.
Yep.
His mission in life and his life on this earth was to give you message and be saved so that you would come to him and go to the Father through him.
Oh, amen. And it's time we started believing him. You know, it's time we started believing him for miracles. It's time we started believing him for emotional healing because...
100% life.
And what'd you say? Yeah, everything. Matthew 4, back where we were a little while ago, at the end of Matthew 4, about verse 24, 3 or 4, it says that Jesus healed people of their diseases and of the bad effects of their bad lives. Word got around. People brought anybody with an ailment, whether mental, emotional, or physical, and Jesus healed them one and all. We need to believe. We need to get on the believing train, people, and believe God for the miracles that are needed in each of our lives. God is in the miracle working business, Carol. He has not quit doing miracles.
And you know, people that are so dastardly disabled, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, with physical illnesses, you know, they just throw their hands up so many and say, well, the doctors can't do anything, and I can't do anything, and, you know, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't know what else is going to happen, and I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And I hear that, you would not believe the amount of time I hear that in a day. And they, you know, and I say to them, do you want to be healed?
Exactly.
Well, yes. Carol, why would I say that to you if I didn't want to be healed? I said, then I can't heal you. You're saying it to me, and you're asking me. I can't heal you. I said, I can pray with you right here, right now, for the healing power, the balm, the salve of Jesus Christ to heal you. But you must believe it and accept it and live with that.
That's That's it right there. That's the key, believing and accepting it. Because I agree with you, Carol. I've known a lot of people through life that would rather keep the illness or the hurt or the painful incident in their past, rather keep it because it gives them an excuse for depression or anxiety or...
It gives them an excuse when they drop out of life, Pastor.
Right, exactly. So many do drop out of life. You're right.
Oh, good heavens, yes. They do drop out of life. And it's the poor, poor me, bless my little pea-picking heart.
Yeah.
You know?
I
know
agree.
For a fact that you work every single day. And people, if you don't believe this, you need to see her walk occasionally. you walk and work in pain every single day.
Well,
I know that. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
We've prayed about it.
Right.
You and I together.
Yeah.
And you know that I do the same thing.
Right.
But it has not slowed you down.
No.
You still get up out of your sick
Amen.
Bed, drag yourself to church.
Amen.
Not with dragging your hips and stuff. You drag yourself to church with a hop and a skip and a jump. And people seeing you go in that door do not realize that you are suffering.
Yeah.
You can suffer silently in your car.
Yeah, it's true.
But the minute you get to church, you've got that hop, skip, and a jump in you. You've got the spirit.
It's a decision. It's a decision, Carol. It's a decision to get up and go on and not give in. You know, we were laughing this morning before church about Florida people, and you are a Florida person forever. You're born here.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, Florida people get a little rain, and they stay home, you know. The roads, you know, and whatever. I lived up in Indiana, and believe me, we had ice and snow, and my kids are going through that right now with the crazy weather they've had up there. You know, times where you can't hardly drive. You got so much snow or you got so much ice. Florida people crack me up because we get a little bit of rain or the sky is cloudy and people stay home. You know, it's just like, well, really? Because any excuse will do. But any excuse will do. You see?
That's right.
And so any excuse to suffer instead of be healed, maintain the illness, the physical, the emotional, whatever the junk is in our lives, the old memories, the old habits, whatever. So often people want that crutch as an excuse for bad behavior. That's
it's comfortable.
It's a strong statement, but I believe that, Carol.
It is comfortable. It is difficult to learn something new. It is difficult to put yourself out and be vulnerable. You know, if you don't know how to water ski and yet everybody is, that you know is going to have a party and they're going to be water skiing, you can choose not to go. You can choose to stay home, which people often do. Well, I don't know how to water ski and I don't want to make a fool out of myself. What's going to come when the day of resurrection comes and people say, please don't take me. I'm comfortable here. I wouldn't know how to act with a new body, a new spirit, a new soul.
Right. You know, Carol, that I'm glad you brought up water skiing because I haven't thought about this till right now. I remember the first day I tried to water ski, I was 16 years old in Indiana on a lake up in Dewart Lake and with a bunch of my friends and this family had a boat and I fell 17 times. We laughed till we cried. I fell 17 times before I finally was able to stand on those water skis. And I mean, it was hilarious and we should have had a movie of it. It was so bad. But the point is perseverance right here, Carol. I'm glad you brought that up because it's perseverance and we need to do that. We need to be on the believing train and believe that God can set us free from all of this junk of our past.
You know, I'm reading in the book of James, James 3:17.
Uh-huh.
But the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure, then peaceful and gentle and easy to please. This wisdom is always ready to help those who are troubled and to do good for others. It is always fair and honest. People who work for peace in a peaceful way plant a good crop of right living.
Ooh, that's good stuff. That's great.
And that's what we have to do. In
yes.
times of turmoil, in times of people giving up, I can't tell you the number of times I've said to people up here, when they've come to me, you've got, how much time do you spend with God? Well, now listen, Carol, I do pray.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say that you didn't pray. I just ask you how much time you spend in conference with God.
Amen.
Well, I pray for my house for this, and I pray for that. And fine. Are you praying, God, help me to know more about you?
Amen.
Release me from this pain, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, whatever it might be. Release me so that I can understand your wisdom directed toward me and for me.
Amen. Woo, Carol, you just gave us the perfect segue into this song, I'll Be Believing You, by the group Point of Grace. Believing you. Wow. That's what it's all about, dear ones. I'll be believing you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, Carol. And we're going to pick up here where Jesus is walking along the beach of Lake Galilee. And this is verse 18 of Matthew 4. Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. They were just going about their daily activity, fishing, throwing their nets out into the water. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions, but they simply dropped their nets and followed. A short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. These two were sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their fish nets. Jesus made the same offer to them, and they were just as quick to follow, abandoning boat and father. I would say that these guys were believing. I'll be believing you. And that's what was going on right here. Carol, God is looking for fishermen like Andrew and Simon Peter, James and John, who just quickly stood up and said, "Okay, I'm believing you. I'm moving forward. I am going to start looking for fish that are people instead of perch or and bass. Oh my, I love the way the Message Bible says that. Carol, God is calling people to get out of their comfort zone and reach out with the gospel about belief in Jesus, don't you think?
I know so.
Yes.
You know, many times I've related the incident as to why I'm in Georgia.
Right.
It was one that I didn't question. I don't know if I innately knew what was going on or if I just blindly said, I'll go.
Right.
You know, when the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, go and go now, I knew what he meant.
Right.
I didn't have any trepidations. You know, I am a Florida native, born and reared for over 64 years.
Yep.
And to anybody that knew me would tell you, I would never leave Florida on my own volition.
Right.
I was happy as a mud dog there, well-established.
Mud dog. A mud dog, huh?
Friends and church and yada yada.
Right.
But I didn't think I had any more usefulness there in the way of serving Jesus Christ. And I had prayed, Lord, I need to be able to be the servant. I need to be able to do what I feel you've asked me to do, which is to bring the gospel to other people in ways that I might not even understand right now. So I made that prayer, and it was kind of an open-ended, oh, by the way, Lord, whenever you think about it, kind of a prayer. And that particular evening, and he whispered that in my ear, I knew immediately what I had to do. I had to leave. I had to go to different fields and different, burn off the brown grass in different places and let the green grass come through to feed the sheep that I was being given.
Amen.
And that's what I did.
And look at that now. How many, 7 years later or 8 years later?
8 years later.
And look at the ministry that you've had in Georgia, and yet you continue to be a part of our ministry from a distance, you and Maxine. Maxine's our webmaster. And just look at what God has done through you, through your obedience, like Simon and Peter and James and John, that just got up and left their nets and followed Jesus.
And, you know, when you do that, you really do not have a clue as to who, what, when, where, why, and how you're going to exist. You know, you put money, like we put money in our pocket and came up to see what the possibilities were. We looked at 45 houses in 5 days.
Yeah.
And that was enough to drive anybody crazy. And then he appeared, you know, this house is what he presented.
Yeah.
So we knew it instantly when we saw the house. We knew it instantly.
Right.
But he allowed us to search and to look in the different areas. But my point being, when he calls you to come with him, you don't need to take anything with you. He will provide for you every single step of the way. He provided a safe journey for us. Came up here with 10 dogs.
Right.
In one vehicle.
Right. That was crazy.
You know, it was crazy. We laugh about it to this day. In the norm, if I had, and I'm a dog nut, you know that. If I had seen somebody in a Ford Excursion with 10 dogs
I know.
In there that never made a sound, I would have said, you got to be kidding.
Yeah.
But the Lord provides. These men knew in their hearts that he had a work for them to do.
Yes.
He would provide for them so they could leave their livelihood. They could throw their nets down and go away because they knew he would provide.
Amen. And he did. And he
yes,
did.
He did, abundantly.
And
they had to go through the endurances that we have to all go through.
Oh, absolutely. The trials, the testing. Yes, they did. All of those guys.
All those tribulations.
Yes.
But in the end, you know, when you know who Jesus is in your own heart, soul, and mind, you know that you're going through these things. Every valley has a peak, and every peak has a valley.
Right.
And you go through whatever it is. It strengthens you. It confirms your faith deeper, stronger, and longer.
Amen, it does. And you just know that God is going to perform a miracle. If it's an impossible situation,
that is
fuel for a miracle. Because it takes an impossibility to have a miracle. So
yes, it does.
Those of you out there right now that are struggling with very, very difficult circumstances in your life, now is the time to reach out and believe God for the miracle that you need. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's financial, emotional, whatever it might be. Now is the time to believe God. And you're right, these guys went through a lot. I mean, you know, they really, whoa, through the 3 years of ministry, walking with Jesus on this earth and then becoming missionaries and going to all these different lands after Jesus went to heaven, they endured a lot. Most of them martyred, you know, for him.
Yes.
Amazing.
And, you know, when you walk through that valley, and you don't know how deep it is, you don't know how dark it is, but there's always that one little teeny-weeny flicker of light.
Right.
That guides you through the deepest darkness, and that's the light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He doesn't walk off. He doesn't leave us. There are times we look around, and I know you've been there, and I've been there, and most everybody that has a story about Jesus coming in their life has been there. When the world is so dark, you can't really get a good grip on anything.
Right.
Your eyes are skewed. You can't see well. You can't ascertain what's in front of you. Because it's the confusing statement of the world.
Right.
And the world will keep us greatly confused.
Absolutely.
You've got people telling you this and people telling you that and everybody trying to solve your situation for you. And yet the only salvation for your situation comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ and that teeny-weeny little light that guides you through that darkness.
Well, Carol, you made reference earlier about people that call you and you ask them, like, how much time do you spend with the Lord? I believe in this new year. By the way, Happy New Year, everyone, because we are almost in 2014 within a couple days here. But, you know, in this new year, I believe that what God is saying is people, get serious about your relationship with the Lord. Spend time in his presence, not just at church. And some of you need to get serious about your commitment to the local body where you are. But get serious about your relationship with the Lord and realize that God wants to spend more time with you. He's got that time to spend, and he wants you to make a commitment. And a minute here or a minute once a week in church is not enough, Carol. People have got to get serious. I mean, they got to get on the believing train. And your faith grows by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Your faith is going to grow as you spend time in the word and as you spend time talking to God.
Yes, it will. And, you know, I agree with you. I think 2014 is a reckoning year.
I agree.
It's the new year, and you're talking about people wanting to be at church for Bible study next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hallelujah and amen. They've stepped forward and said, we don't want the world. We don't care about playing in the world and blowing horns and seeing sparklers and watch the possum drop in Blairsville, Georgia. We don't care about that.
Yeah.
We care about starting our new year, 2014, with study of Jesus Christ and his word.
Amen.
We choose to be in fellowship with like believers.
Amen.
We choose to support the church where we go.
And that's what happened this morning, because I'd said, well, you know, Wednesday is January 1st, New Year's Day, so we just won't have Bible study. And then there rose a rebellion, and I love it. I love it. And the rebellion was, well, we want to have church. Well, can we have it? And I said, well, sure. I'll be here if you'll be here. Yeah. And they said, sure, we will. So, but see, this is so exciting to me, Carol, as a pastor, because people are saying, we want to spend time in studying the word. We want to spend time worshiping God. We want to put our requests before him and hear and see the answers and see God move. This is what we're talking about on this show today. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, they dropped their nets. They left the past behind, and they moved into the new day, Carol. They moved into the new day.
Well, see, on Wednesday, the members of your church that will be there, or our church that will be there, are not there simply for entertainment.
Oh, no.
They
no.
are there because they're going to start their new year in their life out in a right direction.
Amen.
They want to hear the word. They want to sing the songs.
Yes,
see
yes.
See Nathan sitting at that piano and
yes.
playing and singing. If you didn't have anything but a sing-along service, it would be a worship service. Because when you say prayers and you sing songs, you're actually praising God.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be Bible study. But But, you know, thanks to you and Maxine, who bought us that portable keyboard that sits in Bible study room. And so now we're able to use that on Wednesday nights. And it's so fantastic to be able to worship God right there with that keyboard. And that's what we'll be doing. And then getting into the Word. And that's the way we're going to start our new year. And we challenge you, listeners, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and join us. We're a crazy group of people who just love the Lord. And from all walks of life, from all different occupations, I mean, we've got it all represented. We've got all kinds of different occupations. But we're just people who love God and love to worship and love to study the Word. Carol, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
It is exactly what it's all about. You know, it's not about being bound by duty to go. It's not like you're float. You know, you say, well, you know, is God real? Is he? Where is he? And I can't see him. And, oh, he's done nothing for me. Well, here's my theory. If you're standing upright, breathing fresh air, he's doing something for you right
there. Amen. There you go.
You know,
woo! Absolutely.
When people say, well, God's never done anything for me, I said, hello.
Yeah.
And what is your age?
Right.
And they tell me, I said, been with you the whole time, darling.
Yeah, exactly. Right there.
You don't know what he... I said, one of these days you will see what he has protected you from, even though you didn't want him to protect you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's time, and I declare it and proclaim it right now in this new year, that more and more people are going to find Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. More and more people are going to find that they need him in their lives, that they need a companion, that... that counselor who walks with us on a daily basis, mighty God, eternal Father, that was prophesied in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, that when the Messiah came, he would be wonderful counselor, mighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's who he is, and he can and will walk with you through anything that 2014 brings you. He will be right there beside you, helping you get through what you have to get through and giving you the mercy and the grace to do it excellently. You know what I mean?
Well, mercy and grace are so important.
Woo! That's
and
it.
If anybody has read the prayers that I write, I try to always include mercy and grace.
Yes.
Without
yes.
those two things, it's difficult to get through the situations that we have to deal with as human beings.
Right.
Whether you're in a right position with God or whether you're still struggling to figure out if he is indeed what you want to study and do and be a part of. Mercy and grace. You know, to be granted mercy and to be granted grace are two of the greatest gifts we could ever receive. Because, you know, if we don't have those, we don't have hope.
Right.
And hope is the last thing that we ever need to lose. You know, there's so many times we see situations where somebody's missing, perhaps, or they're out on the ocean and the boat is not found or whatever, and somebody says, oh, let's just hope that things are okay. Let's keep hope alive.
Right.
Well, hope is the favor of God.
It is.
They don't realize what they're saying. An agnostic isn't going to necessarily, well, we're going to have hope for this. We're going to have hope that they come through it. What you're saying is, the mercy and the grace of God give me the hope to know that Jesus Christ is behind and in every situation.
Amen. And there's a verse that says hope is the anchor of our
That's
souls.
Right.
You know, I love that. Hope is the anchor. So, dear one, whatever you're believing God for, and maybe you say, well, I don't know that I'm believing God for anything. Well, do you need any changes in this new year? Because, come on, we're starting a new year in a couple days here. Do you need a miracle in your life? Do you need for God to show you his power, his strength, his presence in your life? Some of you out there are saying, but I'm so weak, you have no clue how sick I am or how mentally ill I am or emotionally ill. We're going to play this song from another show that we did. We've probably used this song so many times through our 7 years on the air, but I love this song from Clearback, I think from a show in 2009. We pulled it. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. Here we go.
His strength is perfect. So
When our strength is gone, he'll carry us. When we can't carry on, when we just can't carry on, when we feel like we can't handle it. Some of you right now out there in Radio Land are in desperate situations. Some of you are not. But the ones of you that are saying, you just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. And to you right now, we say God is the God of miracles. He's an awesome God. He is the mighty God. He cares about every detail of your life. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to get to know you better and you get to know him. He wants to talk to you and allow you to talk to him and pour out your aches and your pains and your hurts and your resentments. And the things that have just absolutely been so difficult in your life, God wants to hear every one of those. He wants you to commune with him, to talk to him. Oh, my. Carol, I tell you what, this has been a powerful show. It didn't go the way I thought it was going. They never do. Praise God. We don't have notes. We never know where we're going. We just know what songs we're going to do, what God has impressed upon us. But we really don't know how the Holy Spirit's going to work, do we?
No, we don't. You know, when I realize that I'm on the radio for that particular Sunday, I usually hear from you on a Saturday or maybe even a Friday, and I start study for those particular messages, and I start asking God to give me the wisdom, the strength, and
Amen.
The courage
Amen.
To be able to know what I'm supposed to do to say what he once said through me.
Right.
And I'm sitting here now with five Bibles laid out around me, and I research each and every one, and they're all open to different scriptures. Because as I'm studying the lesson for the day, which in this particular case, you know, was Matthew 3 and 4, I have been so strongly today sent to the book of Romans.
Okay.
And in the fifth chapter of Romans, second verse, it goes this way. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
Oh, praise God. Those are great verses. That's chapter 5 of
yes.
Romans, starting with about verse 2.
2 through 5.
Good stuff. You can look
and
it up later.
Just while that song was playing.
Yes.
If you can't pray, sing.
Yes.
If you can't sing, write.
Right.
If you can't write, praise him for the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea,
right.
the flowers that bloom, the grass and the trees that grow. Praise him that you can see and hear, and for the unknown to you, he is closer than you think.
Amen. Woo, Carol, good stuff. He wants to work in people's lives. If you are not sure right this moment that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, we invite you to pray the sinner's prayer with us. I'm going to pray it, Carol. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, and then our listeners who need to make this commitment can pray with you, Carol, as you repeat the words that I say. This comes from the book of Romans 10:9-10, that if we confess our sins, And if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you are not sure of your salvation, pray this prayer as Carol repeats it. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me.
I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me.
For anything and everything I've ever said or done.
For anything and everything I have ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I invite you to come live in my heart.
I invite you, Lord, to come live in my heart.
By faith.
By faith.
And I declare right now.
And I declare right now.
That you are my Lord and Savior, Jesus.
That you are my Lord and my Savior, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, this I pray.
In Jesus' name, this I pray.
Ooh, amen and amen. I believe there's been at least one who has prayed that sinner's prayer with us right now, Carol, or many, probably many others in the years to come as this show stays on our website. And we invite you to tell friends and neighbors about this show, tuning in live on Sundays at 3 or anytime, day or night, in the middle of the night if you can't sleep. We have people in our church that get up in the middle of the night and they say, well, I didn't sleep, but I listened to Sunday's radio show. Get up and go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and the shows are there. So many of them, you can't believe, because this is our seventh year on the air. So, Carol, sum it up for me. Give me some final thoughts here before we get ready. And Cedric, we're going to use that song we just did again, His Strength is Perfect, instead of our regular ending song, because I love the words of that song. When our strength is gone, there it's His strength that we draw on. Go ahead, Carol.
Our God is merciful. Our God is full of love. He's full of hope for us. He endures our indignities.
Yeah.
He counsels us through the times that are strong, when we need to be stronger. He counsels us with wisdom and courage and strength and forgiveness and
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
Always watching out for us.
Yes.
Always keeping us safe. And always praying in his way that we come to him totally and fully and completely. Life is abundant with Jesus Christ. Life is wonderful with Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no light in the world.
Amen.
So I thank God on this day that we do have the light of the world living in our hearts, our souls, and our spirits.
Woo! Amen and amen to all of that, Carol. Woo! You are a wonderful asset to this radio team. You've been on with us from the beginning. And we just thank God for you and for Maxine and your ministry there in Georgia and your ministry at Beacon of Hope, even though the miles are there between us. There's no distance between us in the spirit.
No, there isn't.
So
not
praise
the
God.
The spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, we are one together.
Amen. Thank you to Nathan. Thank you to you. And we welcome you if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Come and visit us at a service. And 10:30 on Sunday morning, 7 o'clock is Bible study on Wednesday night. Bring your Bible. We've got others. We've got a bunch of Bibles in the bookcase. If you don't happen to have one, we'll give you one. And come and learn the Word of God with us. And we just welcome you to become a part of this ministry. Some of you can become financial partners and help pay for this radio broadcast every week. God has always provided. If you want to become a financial partner, go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal there, and you can give a financial donation. Some people give their tithes and offerings right there on PayPal. It's safe, and it is secure. And that's the way some of our out-of-state people do give finances to help spread this radio broadcast each week. So we welcome you to do that. We also welcome you to become a part of our prayer team and just go to prayers. Write that in your email, prayers@bohmglobal.com. If you're new to the ministry of Beacon of Hope, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and get acquainted. There's a lot there to look at and to learn about. We are a word-based church where our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's all about the Word of God. Every single week on this radio show, we're all about teaching the Word of God, using music that's going to bless you and help you in your walk of faith with Him. So if you have a prayer request, send them. Send them. Day or night, middle of the night, they will get picked up by Carol or Pastor Jim. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. And we want you to use that. So we invite you to our services, and we're going to play this song again and go out with this song. This has been Pastor Marcia from Beacon of Hope, Carol and Nathan, bringing the Word of God to you this day. Tune in next Sunday at 3 o'clock. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Listen to the song.
Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.